Hi guys, welcome back to my podcast. Today you are joining me in sunny Bulgaria, and we are going to talk today about what it says on the slightly saccharine sign behind me, because as much as it pains me to say so, don't get me wrong, like I love a quote. I love a motivational, inspirational quote, but I quite like them to be a little bit witty and funny. This one says, do more of what makes you happy. And it sounds way too simple. So we're going to explore that today. And we're going to figure out whether it really is as easy as this quote makes it sound, or if there's a bit more to it. So if you'd like to find out how it is that you can do more of what makes you happy, then just keep on watching. My behaviour and communications on this podcast are not an accurate reflection of how I interact in my other businesses. Basically, I don't ever swear at children. If this podcast causes you distress of any kind, either by what I say or who I am, then do yourself a favour and go away. Today we are exploring the notion that you should do more of what makes you happy. There are a couple of points around this that I think are perhaps a little bit deceiving. Number one is that I think there is an implication in saying something like do more of what makes you happy, which makes it sound so easy to do and straightforward that you'd kind of be an idiot to not have done that already. The truth is, it is simple, but it isn't easy. Let me explain what I mean. The idea that doing more of what makes you happy is going to bring a better quality of life to you, of course that makes sense. And in the doing of doing those things, that's relatively straightforward. What isn't easy is negotiating within yourself about how it is that you might instigate that and all of the things that you might need to give up on instead. Because, newsflash, happiness is going to take a little bit of effort, and it is going to necessitate that you dedicate some time to it if this is something that you really want to get better at. Something that really triggered my mind into action when I saw that sign, do more of what makes you happy, was the implication of the effort that's required. Now, that statement alone doesn't sound like there's any effort that's required. It actually sounds like it's, you know, it's quite a sweet, easygoing, take your cake and eat it kind of a statement. You know, just do more of what makes you happy. But there's a really important and powerful word in there that tells you that this is not necessarily going to be without effort on your part in order to achieve the happiness that you desire. And that all-important word included on that poster is the word do. There is going to be some doing on your part in order to achieve the happiness that you wish to achieve. If you are doing more of what makes you happy, the word doing is telling you that you're going to have to do some maybe planning, maybe putting in some effort here, maybe doing something repeatedly and with persistence in order to get the happiness that you crave. The very first thing that you're going to need to do in the doing of more of what makes you happy is give yourself time to figure out what it is that makes you happy, because you might have some idea, but if you don't sit down and give yourself time to really plan it, then for one thing, you might not know all of the things that could make you happy. Maybe there's some other little ideas that are bubbling away under the surface, which because you're so busy, you don't get time to shine a light on them and pay attention to them. And if you did, then you might realize that actually there's more things in life that could make me so much happier. And if you were to do those things as well, then your quality of life could improve drastically. But first, you're going to need to give yourself some headspace to figure out what those things actually are. Now, for some people, they've got so out of the swing of communicating with themselves that even haven't given themselves the time to sit down and think about, okay, well, what would make me happy? Let me ask myself that question. When they ask it, there's nothing there. They don't even get a response from themselves. So in that situation, in order to figure out what it is that would make you happy, you have to work backwards. Instead of thinking about what it is that you should be doing to achieve the happiness, you need to think about the end result that that happiness would bring for you. So for example, alongside happiness, how else might you be feeling? So maybe you can think about the end feeling that you want to get towards alongside happiness. Perhaps having that happiness would lead you to have something, you know, maybe there would be something materialistic or physical that would come into your life as a result of striving towards that happiness in the future. Maybe it's a new relationship, maybe it's more money, maybe it's one of those things. So if you think about what it is that you would have as a result of striving towards that happiness and doing more of what made you happy, then that could lead you backwards towards, well, if that's what I want to get, then what do I need to be doing to get myself there? Another one that you could consider is, where will you be? Who will be with you? What will you physically be doing with your energy where you are and with the people that you're with? That would be another way for you to start finding out what it is you need to do to get yourself moving towards happiness. So here it is in a nutshell. If you want to do more of what makes you happy, then you first have to know what it is that makes you happy. And you can figure that out by asking yourself the question, what would make me happy? And if you've got some ideas bubbling away onto the surface, then those will come to you. But if you haven't, then you might need to go about answering that question in an alternative way. You might need to do that by thinking about, what are the other things that you would be feeling? What else is it that you would start to have in your life? Or where might you be and who might you be around? From there, you can start to work backwards. When you know what the end result is going to look like, then you can begin to ask yourself the question, well, what needs to happen just before that in order to lead me to being with those people, in order to lead me to having that stuff, in order to lead me towards feeling those additional feelings? So then you can start to specify what the process is going to be to lead you toward those things that will have you be happier. Are you going to choose the right things immediately? Probably not. The chances are you're going to find that you'll test a few things out and not all of them work for you. So you have to maintain an attitude of curiosity. You have to be open-minded and be comfortable with the idea that you might end up testing out several failed ideas in order to establish what it is that actually makes you happy. You might have to do an awful lot of doing. And the final important thing to consider is what you might have to compromise. Now, it sounds again like, well, of course I would compromise things in order to become happy, but you'd be surprised how challenging that can be for some people. And by some people, I also include myself. So for the last few years, I have worked tirelessly, like seriously tirelessly, on my businesses. And in the last 4 years, it's become even more challenging due to some difficult family shenanigans, shall we say. However, in spite of the increasing demands at work and the increasing demands for my family, I've continued to work 9 till 6, Monday to Friday, sometimes until 7:30 because perhaps I'm seeing clients, sometimes perhaps until 9 o'clock because I have a webinar. When I run trainings, they're typically from a Saturday until a Tuesday, and I'll still go back into the office to finish off the other tail end of the week. And when I come away on holiday, well, you know, I still check my emails and the office still contact me, and all of those things all continue to happen. Now, way back when I was younger, perhaps I just had a little more stamina, but I certainly didn't have as many other distractions happening in my life simultaneously. And one of the things that I've come to notice on this this particular trip away is that I'm not as happy as I could be. I've also come to realise that that lack of happiness is due to me doing not enough of the things that make me happy. There are things that I want to do. It was a wasp. Okay, it's gone now. There are things that I want to be doing, not necessarily things that I know will make me happier, but certainly the exploring and creativity and researching and all of those sorts of things that I enjoy about a new project do make me really happy. In addition, some of it's just about, you know, my lifestyle. I want to be able to exercise more. I want to be able to get adequate sleep at night. Those things make me happy too, and I would really like to fit more of those into my routine. So, back to the point about compromise, I've had to reevaluate how it is that my day-to-day life is mapping out. Because if I want to do more of what makes me happy, then as much as I'd like to believe that I can squeeze it in around all of my other commitments, the truth is that I can't. Another thing that's happened on this trip is that I've been reading. Well, listening to an audiobook anyway. And the book that I've been listening to is by Helen Russell. It's called A Year of Living Danishly. Now, I got recommended to that book by another podcast called Freakonomics. If you don't listen to Freakonomics, then I'd really recommend it. I think you would love it. It is available on iTunes and all of the other podcast platforms. So back to this audiobook. It's about a family who move to Denmark and start living Danishly. They start embedding into a Danish way of life, which is very different to a British one or even an American one. Now, the important thing to note about the Danish is that they are the happiest nation in Europe. Like, they're really freaking happy. So the book really is about exploring why that is. What is it that they do that makes them so happy? And from what I've heard, and I haven't finished the book yet, but from what I've heard so far, in a way there's a lot of compromise in there. In a way there's a lot of compromise in their lifestyle, because there are strong structures and frameworks around what they do and how they do what they do, but at the same time there's also a great deal of freedom. Don't ever underestimate the ability of freedom to bring you happiness. And one of the things about the Danish lifestyle is that they work significantly less hours than British people do. As you can imagine, my brain really rather liked the sound of that. As someone who has been dedicated to 9 till 6, Monday to Friday, as a minimum, you know, it's not unusual for me to work 21 days straight with no day off. And to still check my emails at 5:30 in the morning and to respond to people at the weekends and whilst I'm on holiday. And whilst that brings about a sense of real kind of dedication towards the people that I work with, it also makes them incredibly incompetent sometimes. Because it teaches them that I'll always step in and put my own life last in order to help them resolve their challenges. I think it also does something on a self-esteem level for myself and people like me, because it starts to train our brains that we are not first best, we are second best. Everything and everyone else comes first. There's only so much time that your unconscious will put up with that sort of shit for. And I think mine has now had enough. So in order for me to fit in doing more of what makes me happy, I am going to be reducing my office hours. I'm going to be reducing the office hours so that I've got more time to do more of the happy things and to become happier. Now, here's the really interesting and somewhat terrifying part. In studies around work productivity, it has been shown that people who are happier are more efficient and more productive. Now, I like to think I'm fairly efficient and productive already, but it comes more from burning the candle at both ends. It comes really from having burnt the candle and not having a candle left anymore. So what I'm looking to do differently now is to make sure that myself and everyone on my team in the office are capable of achieving just as much as we currently achieve, but within a smaller time frame. They don't know about this yet, by the way. I think they're going to be terrified. The reason why I'm telling you this is because maybe you need to do something similar. If you need time to do more of the things that make you happy, then you're probably going to have to give something else up. Now, I've mentioned this in other podcasts previously. We've all got the same amount of time in any given day. We all have the same number of hours. So think about it. Is there stuff that you could realistically do in a different way? Maybe reshuffle some things or drop some things completely to leave you with more time to do the things that you want to do. If there is a way for you to ditch something, even if it's only temporarily, to do something else that you love, even if it means cancelling a meeting, even if it means earning less money, even if it means not taking your child to netball on a Friday. They're probably knackered on a Friday anyway, so I shouldn't worry about it. Commit to doing it. If not only the once, then maybe for at least 30 days, just to see what it does for you. And a really useful thing to do is to measure. Measure where you are when you begin. Establish what your levels of happiness are already. Just from 0 to 10 is a good scale. And then, on the other side of it, having done more of the things that make you happy, measure yourself again. Are you happier? If so, you might start to realize that the compromise was worth it. So to summarize, first up, we need to figure out what is it that makes us happy. And to do that, we might need to spend some time thinking about it. We might want to think about how we want to be feeling as well as happy, who we want to be with, where we want to be, or what material things or products or people need to be around us for us to feel that sense of happiness. We need to establish that happiness is something that we do. There's a process behind this. There are actual physical steps that we will need to be taking. So what are they and how do we get to them? You may need to block out some time just to do that thinking part and commit further time into doing the things that make you happy so that you can reach the happiness on the other side. And of course, we may need to compromise. There are probably going to be other things that we have to give up in order to get time to do more of the things that make us happy. If you can do those things, and you can, then you have a good chance of achieving that wonderful, blissful state of happiness. And I would like you to commit to doing that for a specific period of time, perhaps 30 days, just to see where you get to. And let me know how you get on the other side of the doing of it. Okay, we got a lawnmower and a chicken in the background. So with the sound of the ever approaching lawnmower in the distance, I would like to thank you all for watching and listening. If you are not already subscribed to this channel, then make sure you do so by clicking the red button on YouTube or clicking subscribe in your feed on whatever podcast platform you may be listening to this from. If you're a YouTube viewer, then go ahead and give that thumbs up button a jolly good poke. And remember to click the notifications bell so that you get notified the next time I upload a podcast. But for now, thank you so much for watching, and I will see you and speak to you all on the next one. Bye.